Are you feeling lost? Well, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to Lostish, where we,
Rose Chachko
and Emanuela Kapitakis,
share what it's really like navigating your 20s.
We're two semi-lost girls figuring out careers, relationships, wellness, purpose, and everything in between.
Each week, we dive into the highs, the lows, and lessons of chasing your dreams, finding happiness, and learning to embrace the uncertainty.
We're not here to pretend like we've got it all together.
We're simply just figuring it out with
you. 3, 2, 1.
Hello everyone
to the Lostish podcast. That was mysterious.
Oh, we've never done it like that before.
No, it also feels like it's been ages since we've been in the studio, so we're being a bit awkward.
I wouldn't say we're being a bit awkward, but it does feel a bit weird because we haven't been in the studio for like, what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
Three weeks.
Anyways. Which is quite a long time.
We've got an interesting episode today. First of all, can we just say we had a really nice morning. We woke up. We've been so productive. We went, finished a uni assignment, had breakfast with Rose's family because I've been staying over way too many times lately, went to Bondi Markets and then
had acai bowls. Got acai bowls.
And now we're here.
It's really beautiful and sunny in Sydney at the moment, and we are just loving this weather. We've had a beautiful weekend, and now we are ready to present to you an episode that we believe is very, very important.
From the title, it's a very to the point. We're getting straight into it. It's simple. It's something everyone goes through.
Stop overthinking.
Just stop.
Stop overthinking. And this is for me because I am a chronic overthinker. Chronic. Yeah.
So this is beautiful, this dynamic, because we're literally – I am the opposite of that. Like, I used to overthink. Everyone overthinks little things, like every now and then, at least. But I would not call myself an overthinker at all. And Rose is the most chronic overthinker. So we're bringing this to you from two completely different perspectives.
Yeah. And I think that's really good that we do have these two different perspectives, because you can offer more of a, I guess, logical standpoint on overthinking as a whole, and like how we can kind of minimize it and instead kind of reframe what overthinking is in our head.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just want to start off by saying, overthinking comes from a variety of different reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got some written down here. For example, we've got fear of judgment. You know, people overthink, and they overthink because they don't want to be judged, or even the whole people-pleasing thing. Mm-hmm. You know, people overthink because they want to please people, and if they haven't pleased people, then it's this whole thing. It's an ego trap. Overthinking is an ego trap. You know, if I think about it enough, maybe I can control the outcome. Overthinking is a lack of control. When we don't have control over something, we overthink and we spiral. And social media feeds, honestly, a lot of overthinking in certain circumstances, perfectionism, fear of judgment, whatever it is.
What do you think people overthink about the most, though? Because I think that nowadays it's got to do a lot more with people and appearance.
Yes.
So I think that's the two main sectors of things that people overthink things in. Like, oh my God, like you. Why is this person not texting me back? Why is this person acting dry? Why is this person doing this? Why is this person doing that? Or I need to, you know, my mascara is not bold enough. I haven't got enough blush on. Is this pimple? Is someone going to notice the pimple?
Like,
okay. So
relationships too, though, the amount of times you overthink.
That falls under the people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So let's go. Which one are we starting with?
Oh, you kick us off.
All right, I'll start with the advice, right? I'm just going to go straight into the bloody advice, because everyone needs a little bit of that in their life. This is one thing that I say to Rose all the time. Like, it is the most simple thing. I think this is all I'll need to say the whole podcast episode to get the whole point across in terms of advice. It sounds so simple, but just take things for the facts, not for what you think it might be, not for what you want it to be.
Or the feeling that you have.
Or the emotion that's evoked by whatever it is you're going through. Just take it for what it is. And I'll give you the most simple example. So, yes, for example, I'll use the example of someone not texting Rose back. What I've had to tell her the last 5 times she's told me about this stuff. I'm like, okay, what are the circumstances? This and this and this. The fact of the matter is, you've had one conversation with this person. You know, have a mutual friend, for example, and you know, they haven't responded to you in a day and a half. Don't start thinking that this person could be doing this and they could be talking to other people and they could be, you know, they haven't followed me back on Instagram. And like, sorry, I'm really outing you here.
It's hard though. It's really hard.
But then what I sit and tell Rose is, look, there's three outcomes. Either, you know, they text you back and it ends up being great. They don't text you back and there's your answer. Or, don't know what the third outcome was.
They're not my husband.
The moral of the story is that you're husband or you're not. Like, well, that's
it. This is the thing, right? It's like we formulate these things in our head and we literally force ourselves to believe that it's true.
Yeah.
Because like I said to you yesterday, all of these things that I was saying to you, like I'm not going to go into detail, but like in my head, I'm like, oh my God, this is so real. Like this feel like, you know, whether it's something deeper within me that's triggered, you know, like an anxious attachment or like a trauma trigger or whatever it might be. And I said to you, like, this is pretty triggering for me because of so-and-so and so experience. And you were like, yeah, I understand that. But what is the fact? You got to take it for what it is.
Yeah.
What it is he hasn't messaged you back and that's it.
Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't mean he's this or he's that or he's that. He's
fallen off the side of a cliff, nor does it mean that he's talking to 50 other people. It's just he hasn't texted you back in 2 days for whatever reason.
But I was spiraling. I was like, just because it was somebody that I was fairly interested in, and it's like you when that happens, it's weird what your brain does, and it convinces you of a certain outcome.
Yeah,
and the outcome isn't a fact, but you so wholeheartedly believe that it's true. It's crazy. And I'm one of those people like I think everyone knows by now that I'm an actor. I'm a creative person, and a part of acting is you've got to obviously take on a character and really embody it and feel those feelings, right? I feel feelings so deeply. And so this is where the overthinking mind comes from, right? Is like, I feel so deeply. I'm vulnerable. I'm sensitive. I'm emotional. Honestly, in the best possible way, I'd say I'm a very empathetic person, hence why I feel things, you know, very, very wholeheartedly. But I don't know. It's just one of those things that, like, when you spiral and you don't have somebody to stop you there, it's like you, for example, like I wasn't feeling great yesterday. And then after talking to you about it, I felt much, much better because of what you said. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, honestly, I think it's retraining your brain.
Yeah.
Because you can't. And look,
I'm not by being someone who doesn't overthink things, it doesn't mean that I haven't overthought things before, 100%. But it's just like over the little things is the stuff that I'm talking about, the stuff that you think so deeply into that really means nothing in the wider scheme of things, and just not letting yourself drive yourself insane over something that is completely out of your control when it's that minor. Like that's really all it is. So I'm a very logical thinker. I'm not a very emotional thinker when it comes to life, I'd say, in general. Like all my advice that I give to anyone, my parents, my friends, my partner, it's all very like logical, exactly for what it is. I'm a very open-minded person. I'll have a good debate with absolutely anyone. I don't mind. But with the overthinking thing in particular, it's very just, I feel like it is a much easier thing for a logical thinker to have, a much easier trait for someone to have, because I do not let myself spiral. There have been times where I've started thinking something, started getting anxious over something, and I'll be like, no. I literally say myself this one sentence. I am not letting a little tiny atom in my body control my feeling right now. It's not happening, because that's what hormones are. They're little microscopic things in your body, very real, but in your body that are just, I'm not letting that control me.
Yeah.
I'm not. And it knocks me right back into where I came from.
That's like, a really good way of putting it, actually. Yeah. Like I'm not going to let this little microscopic atom
thing
or thing in my brain or my body
control. Yes.
But the thing is, overthinking comes from a lack of control.
Mm.
It comes from a person wanting to control the situation, wanting to control the outcome. For me, it's me wanting to control the outcome. It's the unknown. Am I going to hear from this person? Am I not going to hear from this person? Mm. It's like, what, you know?
Yeah.
It's ego. It's all ego. And to be honest, like Mel Robbins said this in her podcast once, when somebody talks about ego, it loses me. I'm like, well, what is ego? But it's literally your, how do you explain it? What is ego? Your head, your heart.
A bit pride. Pride. I think of ego as pride.
Pride, it's like, yeah.
Self-interest. I don't know.
Yeah. Pride's a good one, actually. Yeah. It's your pride, and it's like, when your pride is stomped all over.
How many times did I use that word when I was speaking to you yesterday? I'm like, ego aside, Rose, this is the fact.
Yeah.
That's literally what I was saying.
Yeah.
This is how I talk to Rose.
Yeah, I know. No, but it's really good because I need that. I need to be spoken to. I need to be told factual, logical information. Because if I, like, for example, one of my other friends who's very similar to me, sensitive, emotional, would probably give me different advice to the advice that a logical thinker mm-hmm. like you would have given me.
See, this is the thing. I always tell my friends, I don't know if I said this in another podcast episode, but I always say to my friends, I never want to be your shoulder to cry on. I want to be the person that you come to if you want to be cheered up.
Mm.
I'm not sitting here weeping in your sorrows with you. I will listen to absolutely everything and give you the best possible advice I can. I'm not nonchalant, guys. I will listen to you. You can tell me the worst things you've gone through.
I gave Emanuela my phone and I said, go through. So I just hit the mic. I said, go through all of my messages with this person, every single interaction I've had, and I want to know your thoughts and feelings on the whole situation. I think the mic's
a bit far from you.
Oh.
There we go.
Okay. And that's what happened. And I gave her my phone and we spoke about it for an hour.
Did I give you good advice?
You gave me great advice. Thanks. And you know what? It was literally take it for what it is.
Yeah.
Like there's actually nothing else more to say of when you're overthinking, take the situation as for what it is. Mm. And it's not, you're not going to ease your anxiety straight away. Mm-mm. You're not. It's retraining your brain to think that way. You're going to have multiple times where you're going to overthink and spiral certain situations. But you've got to train your brain to be like, actually, no. Catch the spiral.
Exactly.
Notice it.
Yeah.
Notice that you're spiraling.
And stop yourself.
Stop yourself. Say a line. Yeah. Even if it's like, I'm not going to let la, 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 la. Or I'm not going to let this tiny atom in my body control me. Yeah. I'm not going to let my lack of control in this outcome determine my happiness or whatever it may be.
I'm not going to let someone else's potential opinion affect how I'm going to act in this situation,
mm-hmm.
for example. I think it's very, very important. And yes, it very much is linked to stress. I think that's why.
Yes, absolutely. Why
I'm okay and I don't overthink because and I'm anxiety. Not a very stressed and anxious person to begin with. Okay, yeah, that's pretty good advice. Let's shift to the aesthetics part of it now.
Okay.
Because I think that's another really, really big one.
Mm.
And it's kind of very different to people because I feel like the reason people overthink is because it's very similar actually, because in both situations you think that you might be the problem.
Yeah.
You think that there's something wrong with you, whether it's, you know, the reason why someone's not, you know, messaging you or the reason that you don't want to go out without wearing makeup on, for example. It's very much mm-hmm. like like your ego and your self-image. And what you think other people's opinions of you are going to be in that situation. My advice for this is like, I mean, to be honest, I think we kind of speak about this in a lot of episodes, but building a network of people that make you feel like that build your standards to begin with. If you're surrounded by people that love you wholeheartedly in all sense of the word, you will know that you can be that loved. Even if you haven't got makeup on, even if you don't think you're funny, even if you've got a pimple on your face, everyone goes through stuff. Mm. Like it's not the end of the world. But the moment you have that standard, you won't feel as bad going out. I know personally that most people that have, you know, for example, grown up in a broken household or have been bullied in the past or something like that and have that self-image issue are the ones that overthink a lot of this stuff majority of the time.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'd say I'm so freaking grateful and lucky that I grew up in an environment that was not like that at all. I mean, yes, I've gone through bullying and all of that stuff, but like I had the stability that it didn't affect me as much. Whereas if I had not had that, my overthinking would have, I don't know what kind of person I would have been right now.
Well, I think that's where I kind of got my overthinking and my anxiety from was school. Like, I went through a lot in school. I think I've mentioned it briefly in the past. And
if you want a more in-depth video, go to the Obsession Over Your Looks.
Yes, Obsession Over Your Looks.
Obsession With Our Looks. What do we call it?
Something I think it was like Obsession With Your Looks. But, yeah, I kind of go more into depth there. But coming out of high school and primary school too, like, it's left me with a lot of scars and a lot of things about appearance-wise. And it's like it's so interesting because when I'm with family or when I'm with my closest friends, I feel like I feel beautiful around those people because I don't feel like I have to put a facade on.
But isn't it so funny how you feel the most beautiful when you don't have to be
glammed up,
dolled up? Yeah. But when you go out and you're glammed up and you're around all these people that don't mean the world to you in that way, that you feel worse.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's like, but you know what? It's exactly how I feel. And I think it's exactly how a lot of people feel is when you're around your closest people, you're not overthinking. You're not stressed because it's your family. It's your mom. Yeah. It's your brother. It's your dad. I've said
something like this before in an episode. Remember?
We have.
Made one where it was like, stop overthinking, act how you would around your friends, how you would around your family. Something like that.
Yes.
It was some banger of a quote at the time. But yeah, that's helped me a lot too.
Yeah. I know absolutely exactly what
you're talking about.
And like it's weird when I'm like, so for example, recently, and I think a few of my like friends and family members have noticed this, I've started wearing my hair naturally a lot of the time. And when I say naturally, I don't know if you guys are viewing the video option of the podcast, but my hair is looking curly and crazy. This is like third day curls. This is natural, out of the shower, frizz ball, like. And so many people have said to me, like, this is Rose. Like, this is Rose. And I'm so used to, like, I straighten my hair all through high school, you know, straightening my hair all the time. And look, I feel good when I straighten my hair. I think it brings out a different side to me. But
it's different when you feel the need to.
Yeah.
For.
But there are a lot of times where I did, like, for example, like going on a date, I'm like, oh my God, I've got to straighten my hair.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's
urgency because you feel like that person might not like your natural hair.
Yeah.
You were born with natural hair because you were beautiful with natural hair.
Mm. I know.
Curly hair.
I know.
That looks so, I am so bad at this too, guys.
You are.
Mine and Rose's natural hair is very, very similar.
Yeah.
My hair is very much straightened right now. And I completely get it. Again, you want what you don't have. But it's really just funny how when you stop giving a shit, the compliments flock at you.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Everywhere I go, I get stopped on the street, people talking about my hair. And it's just like, I've done hair modeling recently and I've never really done hair modeling before. And I'm just like, right?
Yeah.
Like how crazy is that? The minute I started wearing my hair naturally, it's crazy. And I'm like, you know what? And I'm, you know, learning to love my natural hair and keep it the way that it is, you know, with a bit of tweaking and styling and product and whatever. But it's what I'm learning to love about myself, because it was always something that I was quite insecure about through school, getting bullied for having big curly hair, you know, you look like a gorilla or whatever the heck it is, you know, like it's crazy how those sorts of things impact you. And I always overthink my hair. You know this.
Yeah, we both do.
And it sounds like such a shallow thing to overthink, but you know what? In my head, it's not. Like my hair, like my eyebrows, anything with like hair, I'm like very, I overthink a lot, a lot.
You know what? I want to bring back to, I really like this one trend that was going around on social media not too long ago. I don't know if you saw it. It was like, I didn't like this photo of myself. Or like, do you like this photo of me? And then they'd swipe right and it was like a zoom into their insecurity of why they didn't post that photo. But then the moral of the story is that no one actually picked that up from the actual bigger photo of them, but they were just paying attention to it. Because, like, it was like, for example, a girl that would be sitting like this and she didn't like it because she thought her arm was too big. And, like, no one picked up on that. And it was just crazy how that really is, guys, and it took me a while to learn this too, it really is how people see you in real life. No one is looking at you and thinking her arm is 2 centimeters too big for the photo.
Oh, like no dude, one.
No one is thinking, oh, that one eyebrow is out of place.
Oh, my God, she's got a pimple.
She's got a pimple on her chin. Yeah. Like, and even if they are, it's for a split second, no one's thinking about it again. Not enough for you to spiral over it, at least, in the slightest.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one piece of advice I'd give to that is, like, sure, okay, people aren't blind. Okay, if you've got a massive zit on the middle of your forehead, people are going to look at it. Yeah. But they're going to look at it for one half of a second. They're not going to judge your personality based on it.
They're not going to think anything of it. They're going to look at it and be like, oh, she's got a zit on her face.
Just like I had yesterday.
Just like I have today.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's no one thinks about it for enough time for you to put yourself in mental turmoil for it for any reason aesthetically.
Like appearance. There are different categories of things that you can overthink, right? Mm-hmm. So we've talked about appearance spirals, mm-hmm. right? Social encounters, replaying conversations, cringing at jokes.
Oh, I've done that so many times.
Overanalyzing your tone and being like, oh, my God, was I too rude? Was I too forward? Was I too desperate? Was I too this? That I do all the time.
Yeah, I do
especially
that
especially when it comes to, like, messaging, like texting hell, like it's rereading messages, decoding punctuation and emojis and crafting drafts you've never sent out. Like, it's honestly Rose so exhausting.
She thinks I'm so dry sometimes. I'm like, what?
I'm like, why are you being dry?
And she's like, I literally would have, she'd be like, so is our class at uni at 10 tomorrow? And I'll respond with yes or like, yeah.
Y-E-A-H, yeah, it was like, why?
And she's like, why are you being dry? I'm like, what? You literally asked if uni starts at 10. Like, what else am I meant to say?
Yes, my darling angel, bestest friend, lostish co-host.
That's it is what she would want me to say.
No, you're making me out like I'm some sort of like.
No, I find it hilarious.
I find it so funny.
Like, now it's like, oh, every time she says something and then I say something and then she gives me a look, I'm like, did you think that was dry? Like, yeah, like it wasn't dry. And
then no, I know. I know it. With you, it's not. I think it's just trauma from my past with, like, relationships and friends. Anyway.
What other words of wisdom do you have?
Do you ever get those, like, 3 a.m. brain attacks when your, like, brain reminds you of something, like, in the middle of the night? You're like, oh, my God, I've got it.
Or my,
like,
oh,
you know when you have you that, like.
It does happen to me all the time. Anything that I'm thinking about on repeat immediately comes in my dream that night.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Like,
I manifest it.
Like, I could be thinking about a university assignment that I have, and then me being in the exam writing will be in my dream, and then I'll wake up being like, oh, I have an exam.
Yeah, I know. No, that's the same with
all
me.
All the time.
And, or you, like, This is what I do a lot, is I create scenarios in my head, like multiple scenarios of how something can, and this is, goes into the whole control thing, but multiple scenarios in my head of how something unfolds, like a certain situation, whether it's, you know.
Yes, correct. Exactly what we were talking about before. The situation where you don't take it for what it is, but you take it for what it could be or what it might be.
The potential.
Yeah. It's stuff annoying. The potential.
Stuff the potential. See it for what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And that applies to every single situation. If you're waiting for a job and you haven't heard back on it, you're either going to get a response or you're not going to get a response. And either way, you'll be fine and life will go on.
Correct.
If you're waiting back for a text back or a follow back or a snap back or whatever
snap.
Is happening.
Snap. Who uses snap nowadays? Oh, I don't know.
Just for our Gen Zs out there.
Yeah.
We're Gen Zs.
But, guys, I do feel you because that's me. Like, it's really debilitating and it's really hard and it's exhausting. Like, it's exhausting, be in my brain, if you were in my brain, you'd feel exhausted.
Yeah, but life's too short to be exhausted over stuff that's that small.
Yeah,
there's so many worse things happening in the world and we're sitting here worried about a zit on our face.
I know. It's mind-blowing.
Like, the amount of times I say that to my friends, I'm like, guys, there is so much worse. Mm-hmm. There are starving children out there, and we're worried about not getting a message back.
I know, it's just bizarre.
Please.
I know. We're all a culprit of it, though. We're all a
yeah, it all happens of it. In one way or another.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we have any more advice? I feel like we need to give more advice. We've given some pretty good advice.
I think with advice, it's pretty hard to give advice about overthinking because it's very person-to-person related. Mm.
I think we've said it in the one sentence I said before. Just take everything for what it is.
You've also got things like, you know, when you're overthinking and you're in a spiral, you know, to distract yourself with something else, whether it is, you know, go to the gym or move your body. But that's all like very self-explanatory, right? Asking yourself again, reiterating this again, is this in my control? Mm. Is it in my control? If yes, act. Yeah. If not, redirect.
Yeah.
Like redirect yourself because you were just going to sit there, call a friend. I know like it's obvious advice, but like we sit there in our own brain. And I do this all the time. I sit there in my own brain and I'm like ruminating. And then I'm like, I've just spent the last 4 hours ruminating and being anxious over something where I could have called you and you could have snapped me right back into reality. You know?
I would also say, big tip, stay off your phone if you're feeling anxious.
Yes, don't doom scroll.
I'm not even an anxious person and I will find myself going into a semi-anxious state the moment I've sat on my phone scrolling for too long. And I'm not – it may not even be – heavy content. It could be anything. It could be that I've just seen, you know, model after model after model, and then I'll sit there and get in my head about things. Again, like it doesn't really affect me, but like it's just funny how I get into these states of like, you just feel terrible when when you've sat there on your phone scrolling for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been anything overly depressing.
More anxious. Like if I was already in a spiral and I'm scrolling and I'm scrolling and, you know, if that person's on social media or whatever it may be.
It could literally be anything. Anxious. I literally, if I ever get into that state, I immediately put my phone down and I go and spend time with my family straight away. If I'm in the house, I will go and have a conversation with my mum. I will get off my phone and read a book. Like I will not stay on my phone the moment I start feeling that. It's just, I guess it's just being self-aware and catching it before it's too late. Because the moment you start spiraling, it's a whole, like, I'm doing a hand movement, guys.
Yeah, it's whole about catching it.
Of events.
Like, when you catch it early on, you stop yourself from progressing. Mm. Honestly, for me, it's to call someone. It's to call someone. It's to redirect. It's to do something else. It's to not be in the spot, in the same spot where I'm overthinking it. If I'm lying down in my bed and I'm overthinking about this thing, I need to get out of my room. I need to change the location, change the scenery, get outside, put a podcast on, call a friend, go see a friend. Mm. You know, it's simple advice. It's nothing mind-boggling, but very underrated.
100%. We're so exhausted from the sun, guys. We are so exhausted,
guys. I feel like I'm falling asleep. But nothing brings me more joy than doing a Lostish episode.
Yes, no, neither.
No, but I think this one was pretty good. Pretty informative. I think
it's something that we were called to film at a perfect time because every single one of you listening to this has probably been overthinking recently.
Yes, me. Yesterday and today.
No, you've been good today.
I've been good externally, but internally, I'm going through it.
All right, guys, we're going to have to end the episode. Yeah. I'm going to have to give her another whole lecture. Like, what is this?
No, you know what? Like, I feel fine.
That was so fake. That was so fake. Oh, that's okay. That's all right, guys. If you ever need any advice, you come to Emanuela.
No, and me. What the heck?
Advice to stop overthinking, I'll say.
Yeah, I'm very good at advice.
Yeah, you give good advice.
I give incredible advice. All my I'm the therapist in the group. But when it comes to taking my own advice, I find it hard.
Yeah. It's okay. It's not just you. Sure, it's a lot of people, but yes.
Anyway, beautiful people, we are going to clock off and I'm going to do some grocery shopping because I've got family coming over tonight.
And I'm going to edit the pod.
And you're
going to
edit the pod because you're a true trooper.
Okay, we hope you love this episode so, so, so much.
We love you so, so, so much. Please contact us and tell us what you think. We've had amazing messages.
We also had a lot of great response on our Q&A episode. Mm-hmm. A lot of people loved the different conversations that we put into the one episode, and I personally loved filming that episode.
Me too.
So I think we're going to do a couple more of them.
Yes.
We may have some special guests on soon.
Very, very soon. But, it's either going to be next step or the ep after.
For sure. But yes,
well, we love you all. In. Love you all.
And have the best Sunday or Monday, because I don't know when we're posting this.
Or whatever day you are
you're listening to.
And stay ever. Tuned for
the next lost episode of the Lost-ish podcast.